Let us commence our services today by singing, by reading together hymn number 139. Hymn 139. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh he makes me feed beside the living stream. He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his ways and leads me for his mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. When I walk through the shades of death, thy presence is my stay. A word of thy supporting breath drives all my fears away. Thy hand in sight of all my foes does still my table spread. My cup with blessings overflows. Thy oil anoints my head. The sure provisions of my God attend me all my days. O may thy house be my abode and all my work be praise. There would I find a settled rest, while others go and come, no more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. Let us now read together from the Holy Word of God in the prophecy of Ezekiel and chapter 34. Ezekiel's prophecy, chapter 34. We will commence our reading at verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and I will gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the cattle and between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and I the Lord will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I the Lord have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, for they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his own precious word, and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, we do desire to bow before thee on this the morning of thy holy day. We desire to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We desire, most gracious Lord, to come in all our sin and in all our guilt before thee, the only true God. Thou art the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. And, O most gracious Lord, we are unholy. We are unrighteous. We are born in sin. We are shapen in iniquity. And we do desire, most gracious Lord, to bow in humble confession before thy holy majesty. We have sinned and come short of thy glory. We have broken thy holy righteous law. We have done that which is evil in thy sight. And we find, O Lord, even after we have come to a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we find, as the dear apostle himself did, that when I would do good, then evil is present with me. Great God, it is so, and we desire to confess it before thee. Shame and confusion of face belongeth unto us, as at this day, for we have sinned, and Lord, it is so. We leave undone those things that we should do. We do those things that we should not do. We find a law within our members that when I would do good, then evil is present with me. And Lord, we have to often say with the dear apostle, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Gracious God, we do pray that at this particular time, when we're unable to meet in the sanctuary, that thou wouldst graciously draw near. And as we hear thy word preached on this Lord's Day morning, may our hearts be softened under a sense of the dying love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon us. Dear Lord, we do beseech thee. What is the house, O Lord, to me, unless the Master I can see? Lord, we pray that there may be one and another that are hearing thy word this day, that have come like that dear woman of old, if I might but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. O most gracious Lord, we do pray for the healing power of thy gospel. We do pray that we might feel and experience in our hearts the precious virtue of the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin, that we might feel in our hearts that glorious robe of the everlasting righteousness to cover all our nakedness and our shame. The King's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. And Lord Jesus, that can alone be done through thine own precious blood and righteousness. Oh, we pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst then look upon us as a church and as a congregation. We think of others also that may be listening into the service at this time, and pray that it might be a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, that we might indeed hear the word of the Lord. Bless that which we have read together in thy holy word. May it be a living word in our hearts. May the Holy Spirit seal it into our souls. And may it please thee, Lord, to indeed arise in this dark day in which we live. Arise, arise, O God of grace. Into thy rest descend, thou in the ark of thy strength. And let thy priests be clothed with salvation. And thy saints shall shout aloud for joy. O abundantly bless the provision of thy house and satisfy her poor with bread. O Lord, we do beseech thee. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst bless the young of the flock. We think of the little babes in arms, the dear children as they gather with us. We thank thee for them, and that we pray that they may be blessed in their young and tender years with the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Give parents wisdom, grace and help to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remember the dear young friends as they stand on the threshold of life's journey. Bring them to living, saving faith in Jesus Christ. Make them true followers of thee, O Lord, and of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Thou hast promised in thy word, instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. Supply all their needs in providence. Help them in their education. Give them wisdom and understanding. And grant, Lord, thy divine guidance in future employment. And grant thy divine guidance regarding a partner in life's journey. Lord, we lovingly commend them to thee, and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and to grant them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Lord, we pray for each and every one in the midst of the journey of life. Lord, deliver us from temptation, even the temptations of Satan. As we read in thy word, sometimes he comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes he comes as an angel of light, seeking whom he may deceive. O most gracious Lord, deliver us from the work and power of Satan. We think of thy precious word, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. O Lord, lift up that glorious standard of the cross against the enemy of souls, that he may flee from us, that we may be delivered from temptation and delivered from evil. And gracious Lord, we pray to be made more spiritually minded, and our heart and our affection set upon things above, and that thy word may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray for to be delivered from all those associations, Lord, that whether they're religious or not, that will lead us astray from thee and from thy ways. But sanctify thy grace in our hearts, and help us to love thee, serve thee, and follow thee in our day and in our generation. And O Lord God, we do pray for the prodigals that have wandered away from the house of God, that have no desire to meet with us. Stretch out thy almighty arm. Cause them to be in one. Cause them to return, that there might be joy among us to see the prodigals return. We pray thy blessing, dearest Lord, on those in the evening time of life's journey. We seek that the arms of thine everlasting love may surround them and support them and sustain them for thy great name's sake. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy great mercy would remember the village of Lamberhurst and the surrounding villages and hamlets. And Lord, we pray that we may see an ingathering. We pray that we may see a pulling down of the strongholds of Satan and a setting up of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus in the hearts of sinners. Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Gather in, O Lord, the poor and the needy, and those that wander from hither and thither and their souls are not fed. Lord, may they be gathered in. May they come among us. And grant that that day may come, that we may again meet together in the sanctuary. If we think, O Lord, of thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine upon the walls of Zion today, set them free and at liberty. Be with them in their journeys, and graciously help them to give them that determination to know nothing among men, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, that the Lord Jesus may be exalted, and the sinner laid low, and the power of the Holy Ghost present, the anointing of the Spirit in the ministry of the word, we do humbly beseech of thee. And Lord, we pray that thou in thy great mercy wouldst look upon our nation. We have this terrible plague, this pestilence, O Lord, that has come upon us and upon the nations of the earth. And many, many hundreds of people are being taken from time into eternity. And thy word says, hear ye the rod, and he who hath appointed it. For Lord, as a nation, we used to be the nation of the Bible, the people of a book. But we departed from thy ways. Thy truth is trodden underfoot, trampled upon. Thy name is continually blasphemed. Thousands of innocent little babes are taken from time into eternity at the whim of man. We have laws upon our statute book, O Lord, that are totally contrary to the word of God. Immorality is encouraged. Unrighteousness is seen on every hand. O thou great God, in wrath remember mercy. And bring an end, O Lord, to this pestilence that has come upon us. And give men wisdom and understanding. That we do humbly beseech thee. We see thy hand. We see thy judgments in these things. And we would humble ourselves before thee. We would mourn betwixt the porch and the altar. We would confess our own personal sins. The sins of a church, the sins of a denomination, that the sins of a nation, we would gather them all together before thy great majesty and plead with thee to have mercy upon us for thy great name's sake. Lord, give our leaders wisdom and understanding at this difficult time. Graciously bless our beloved Queen and consort and the royal household. Hear us, Lord. We do humbly beseech thee for thy great name's sake. We thank thee for every mercy and every favour. We thank thee for thy holy day. We thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee that thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. We thank thee for the wonderful glory, the sacred glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of sinners. We thank thee for the incarnation of the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, the wonderful glory of his name. We thank thee that he lived a life of perfect, spotless sinlessness here upon earth, fulfilling, honouring and magnifying thy holy righteous law on the behalf of thy people. He brought in everlasting righteousness, and we desire a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. We thank thee, most gracious Lord, that he offered that wonderful and sacred and perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And in that sacrifice, sin has been put away and divine justice has been satisfied and God and sinners are reconciled. We thank thee that he died for our sins and rose again for our justification, and has now bodily ascended into heaven and sitteth at thy right hand. We thank thee for those wonderful words of grace. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Lord, help us continually to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Lord, be with us now as we turn to thy word. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. Come and speak to our hearts. Come and guide us into thy truth. We ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, we would direct your attention to the prophecy of Ezekiel in chapter 34, and we will read verse 26 for our text. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. This is a beautiful word that was given to the Lord's servant Ezekiel. A word of prophecy foretelling the blessing of the Lord that would yet rest upon Zion, upon the church of the living God. Of course, it was given during the time of the Babylonian captivity, when the children of Israel, because of their sin and their iniquity and their wanderings from the ways of the Lord, how that the Lord, he solemnly permitted the army of Nebuchadnezzar to come down upon the land of Israel, upon the city of Jerusalem, and the children of Israel entered into 70 years of captivity. This was because of their sin and because of their wanderings from the way of the Lord and their idolatry. You know, the prophet Jeremiah, he lived at the time when the children of Israel were taken into captivity. He prophesied continually concerning it. He also prophesied of their deliverance from it. I often think, when I look at the book of Ezekiel, I think of the last verse of the Lamentations of Jeremiah. And there we read in the 5th chapter of Lamentations and verse 22, "But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us." You know, my beloved friends, we can understand the feelings of the Lord's servant Jeremiah. He saw Jerusalem laid waste. He saw thousands taken from time into eternity. And he saw Jerusalem overrun, burned with fire. And we can understand the sense of despair that he had when he saw all these things coming to pass. "But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us." But you know, my beloved friends, the Lord will never reject his people. He will never cast off his people. I often think of those two verses in the prophet Joel, and at the end of each verse it says, "And my people shall never be ashamed." And how true that is. The Lord's people will never be ashamed. Even in the land of Babylon, they wouldn't be put to shame. But what strikes me is we leave the last verse of the Lamentations and we come straight into the prophecy of Ezekiel. And we read there, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar," that of course is in Babylon, "that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God in the 5th day of the 5th month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon me." In other words, the Lord had not rejected his people. The Lord had not forsaken his people. And the Lord will never forsake his people. And we read in the book of Psalms, and Psalm 89, we looked at it just recently, and you see, it says there in Psalm 89, concerning the children of Israel, it says, "If his children forsake my law," Psalm 89 verse 30, "and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes." Nevertheless, what a lovely word that is. "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." You may say to me, "But that is the Old Testament." My dear beloved friends, we look at the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament is just as relevant to the Lord's people today as what the New Testament is. But we interpret the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and that eternal covenant of grace that has been sealed by the blood of Jesus. That the Lord has freed his people from Satan's yoke and from the power and dominion of sin and given them glorious liberty in our Lord Jesus Christ. If the Son shall make you free, then shall ye be free indeed. And you know, my beloved friends, that is so true. Freed and delivered from the power and dominion of sin. My people shall never be ashamed. He says, yet will I visit their iniquity with stripes. And we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That word chasten means discipline. He disciplines them. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. The Lord chastens us, his own people, in love, not because he hates them, not because he's going to destroy them, but because he loves them with an everlasting love. And when we move away from the ways of the Lord and we become worldly and carnal and we fall into sin and we become very worldly minded and the Holy Spirit is grieved and he withdraws his sweet influence from us, and so that we then know again what bondage and darkness is. This is the effect of our sin and of our backslidings. But the Lord chastens us so that he can bring us back to himself. And that is what he was doing with the children of Israel. See, we read here concerning the shepherds. That is the ministers of the gospel. They are called under shepherds in the word of God. And the Lord had a controversy with the shepherds, with the Lord's servants at that time. And that they didn't do what they should do. And he says to them in verse 4, that the diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. They were scattered because there was no shepherd. We read in the book of Job, and we read in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the hireling fleeth, the hired shepherd, he flees. My sheep wandered through all the mountains upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. But then we read in verse 11 where we began our reading, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I. Oh, the divine will, I will, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And these wonderful words of grace of what the Lord is going to do for his church and his people. It says in verse 13, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and shall feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. This is, my beloved friends, this is what the Lord promises to do for his Zion. He will bring them, he will gather them. By the divine and heavenly power of his Spirit that proceedeth forth from the Father and from the Son. And he promises to gather them unto Zion. My mind, it goes to some of those beautiful words that we see in the prophecy of Isaiah. And these are words that are most relevant unto us in this gospel day. in which we live. You see, the Lord, he says in Isaiah 43 and verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." See, the divine certainty, every one that is called by my name, by the name of our Lord, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. My mind often goes to that beautiful prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. And it says, "And these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may be glorified in thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." As thou hast given him power. You see, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God." What power, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This people, my beloved friends, the people of God, they are chosen from every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe, and every people. Chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son at Calvary, and sanctified, separated from this world by the Holy Ghost. You know, my mind often goes to those beautiful words, how the Lord by his Spirit opens the truth to us in Ephesians chapter 1. And there in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle traces out divine sovereignty in the salvation of the Lord's people. He says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." It was all his will, his divine, eternal will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's accepted in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. It's in himself. The covenant of grace, the eternal covenant of grace, was made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. That one glorious Lord Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, on earth, even in him. You see, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise and glory of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. What a wonderful, precious truth. What a beautiful harmony there is in the Old and the New Testament, in the sacred prophecies of what God and in Christ was going to do. We see in verse 22 of this Ezekiel 34, we read of our Lord Jesus Christ, "Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd," oh, that one glorious shepherd over them. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. David, doesn't he say in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Oh, the glorious shepherd of Israel, even our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and he himself instructs us in the way of righteousness and of truth, and concerning his church. And we read in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John, the words of Christ, "Verily, verily," that means amen, amen, "certainly, certainly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." You see, the Lord Jesus, he goes on here, and he says in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." This is the glorious Saviour. This is the great Redeemer. He has an almighty voice. And he goes on to say in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine." You see, and then there's those lovely words in verse 16, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them and shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David," that of course is Christ, David's greater son. Christ himself said, "I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them." This is the Prince of Princes. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It's even our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. "And I will make with them a covenant of peace." You see, the covenant of peace. That is that glorious covenant sealed with the blood of Jesus. The Lord said to David, "I will make with you an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure." And we read in the epistle to the Hebrews concerning the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's called the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's the blood that cleanses away all the sin of his people. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Or, you know, again, the Apostle Peter in his first epistle and in the first chapter, he speaks so beautifully there. concerning this glorious covenant ordered in all things and sure, and concerning this precious, precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in 1 Peter 1 verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, and was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." You know, friends, as we come to our text, and he says here in verse 26, "And I will make them and the places round about my hill." That is the hill of Zion. That is the hill of Zion. Zion is the church of the living God. And a church in Holy Scripture does not refer to a building. It never does. It only ever refers to a company of believers, those that have been brought to living faith in Jesus Christ, true believers, true disciples of Christ, true followers of the Lamb. That is who believers are. You know, we read in the book of Psalms concerning Zion, the church of the living God. My mind, it just goes to Psalm 87. "His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah." You see, it says in verse 5, "And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her." In Psalm 110, Zion is called the womb of the morning. "This and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there." You see, my beloved friends, it is the church of the living God, Zion, the spiritual city of God on earth, and the spiritual city of God in heaven. Zion militant on earth, and Zion triumphant in heaven, eternally glorified. We read in Psalm 48, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, the burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. God is known in her palaces for a refuge." That refuge is our Lord Jesus Christ, and Zion has a foundation, and that foundation is Christ. "Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And we read in Psalm 2, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." We read in Psalm 48, and we read in verse 9, "We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. walk about Zion and go round about her, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generations following. For this God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. This glorious God, those mighty bulwarks of salvation. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider those mighty bulwarks, the electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, the sanctifying love of the Holy Ghost. And we want to look more closely at that now, the sanctifying love of the Holy Ghost. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, those wonderful showers of blessing. You know, there's that very well-known word that we have in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 33. And we read in the first two verses, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." This is the Lord Jehovah speaking in Christ. "My doctrine shall drop as the rain." That's the precious doctrine of truth. My doctrine. You think of the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of the precious blood of the Lamb, the doctrine of the everlasting righteousness of Christ, the doctrine that he is the Son of God manifest in the flesh. He's Almighty God. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And think of the wonderful things that he has spoken, our Lord Jesus Christ. "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." You know, there can be no life on earth without rain and without the dew. It's so essential to life. And so is the Holy Ghost, absolutely essential to life. And when the Holy Ghost enters into the heart of a poor sinner, when he quickens their soul into life, when he shows them their lost condition, then he reveals unto them the wonderful love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he breathes the word of God into their heart. And when that happens, and when the word, the sweet promises of Christ are brought into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and the doctrine of truth that he is the only saviour of sinners, that is the only redeemer of mankind, that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden," said Jesus, "and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. My doctrine shall drop as the dew, my speech shall distill as the dew, and as the small rain upon the tender herbs, and as the showers upon the..." My mind, it just goes to those that very well-known and beautiful psalm, Psalm 46. And we read there concerning Zion. It says in verse 4, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High." That glorious river. You know, that's lovely what we read. Very beautiful what we read in the last chapter of Holy Scripture and Revelation 22 and verse 1. "And he showed me." Remember the first clause of the book of the Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." What wonderful, how wonderful this river is. that flows here upon earth. You see the throne of God, that's the Father, and the Lamb, that's the Son, and the pure river of water of life, that, my beloved friends, is the Holy Ghost, the divine, blessed person of the Spirit of God. He is a divine person. He is the third person in the Blessed Trinity. When the Lord Jesus met with the woman of Samaria by Jacob's well, and the Lord Jesus, he said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." That, of course, was natural water out of Jacob's well. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Oh, my beloved friends, that is the Holy Ghost that dwells in the heart of the living family of God. That is what makes them the living family of God. In John chapter 7, in the wonderful words of our Lord Jesus Christ, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Rivers of living water. "And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the showers to come down in his season. And there shall be flowers, showers of blessing. When the Lord's anointed servants preach Christ crucified, lift up and exalt a precious suffering Saviour, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." When they lift up that dear suffering Saviour, a suffering in the room, the place and the stead of his people, what a wonderful pouring forth of those living waters of his grace then is preached into the hearts of the Lord's living family. You know, we read of these rivers in the prophecy of Isaiah, and in chapter 41 we read of this river, and we read of where this river is and where it will flow. Now just listen carefully to what it says in Isaiah 41 verse 17. "When the poor and needy," note that, "when the poor and needy," there comes a time in the life, in the experience of the Lord's living family, when the Holy Ghost quickens their heart, when the Holy Ghost convinces them of their sin, when the Holy Ghost gives them to feel that they are poor and needy, and they begin to seek and they begin to search. When the poor and needy, this comes. It doesn't say if or but, it's when the poor and needy. This is a time that will come in the life experience of every living child of God. They'll be brought to feel they're poor and needy. "When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I the Lord will hear them. I the God of Israel will not forsake them." Just think of these wonderful words of grace. "I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness." You notice where this is? It's in the wilderness. The wilderness of this world. To the spiritual man and the spiritual woman, awakened by the Holy Ghost, this world becomes a wilderness. "I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water." We read here in Isaiah, "until the Spirit be poured out from on high." And then what will they do? The Lord do when he pours forth that living water right into the wilderness, into the desert. It's the last place that you would plant things. But that's what the Lord does. He plants his people here on earth, in this wilderness world. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle, the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, the pine, and the box tree together in the wilderness. Well, you'd say it will wither and die. No, because there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. That is the river of the everlasting love of God in Christ. That is the river of the Holy Ghost as he's poured forth into the heart of a poor sinner, as he's poured forth in the ministry of the word. Fountains of living waters, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. See, this is the wonderful work of God. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Those wonderful showers of blessing poured forth from heaven. The Holy Ghost bringing the word of God, the preached word and the written word, bringing it with sweet power into the hearts of the Lord's living family. You know, here in the prophecy of Ezekiel in chapter 47, again, we have these waters. It says in chapter 47, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, that is, of course, the house of God. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, that was by the holiest of holies. And the holy of holies, if you remember, within the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, there was a golden mercy seat, there were golden cherubims, it was surrounded with badger skins. They're nothing very glorious. That beautifully typifies Christ. And the badger skins represent his sacred, holy humanity. There is no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. But inside of that tabernacle was gold. Gold represents divinity. He's the Son of God. He's not just a man. He's not just a good man. He's not just a righteous man. He's the eternal Son of the eternal Father, manifest in the flesh. He's pure. He's holy, he's righteous altogether. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Remember in that tabernacle worship, once a year the high priest came and he stood in the Holy of Holies and he sprinkled seven times the blood of the sacrifice before the golden mercy seat. Oh, that blood represents the blood of Jesus. And what did the Lord say to Moses? There will I meet with thee, there will I commune with thee. That's in Christ, there is one God and one mediator. I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now this river, it proceeded forth from where that holy place was. It's the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus said that when he ascended up into heaven, that the disciples were to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. The Holy Ghost was to be poured forth upon them so that they would preach the word in power. And it's the same Spirit this day that is poured on these living waters of the everlasting love of God. You see, it says, then brought he, this is verse 2, then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about and without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And then if we look at verse 3, when he was walking in those waters, the waters were to the ankles. And then again, we read in verse 4, in the middle of that verse, the waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000, and the waters were to the loins. You know, this speaks of the Lord's living family, of the various experience of the Lord's people. Here a little, there a little, line upon line. They're raised up to a hope that is in Christ. A little hope in their heart, and the water is to their ankles. And then the Lord leads them more fully into the truth, and Jesus is made more precious unto them, and the waters are to the knees. And then he leads them more deeply and more fully into his truth in all the troubles and trials of life's journey. Christ is made very precious unto them. He becomes the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000. The waters are to the loins. And then we read in verse 5, it was a river to swim in. Oh, this blessed river of living water, pouring forth, proceeding forth from beneath the throne of God and of the Lamb. You see, and it says in verse 8, that these waters issue out to the east, toward the east country, and go down into the desert. Again, we just read in Isaiah, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. It's a healing gospel. Heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are, waiting to feel thy touch, deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. You see, and it came to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, and whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. You see, it's living water, it's Christ himself. Out of his belly shall flow living water. And there shall be a great multitude of fish because of these waters shall come thither. The water of the gospel and these multitudes of fish, the Lord's living family, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the waters shall come. You see, and it says in verse 11, and the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed, but shall be given to salt. And by the river and upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his month, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary from Christ, living water. Oh, that we might know more of these living waters and the living power of the living gospel of our living Saviour. Oh, to know his power and his grace. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. May the Lord be pleased to add his blessing to these few remarks that we have made. Let us now read together hymn number 996. Hymn 996. While the dear saints of God below travel this vale of sin and woe, there is a river through the road makes glad the city of our God. This river is his heavenly love, proceeding from the throne above, and all its streams which here are found with comfort, joy, and peace abound. Blessed river, great its virtues are, pure river, oh, how sweet and clear. Deep river through the desert way, full river, never to decay. Ye thirsty, poor and needy souls, for you this wondrous river rolls. Though sin and sorrow make you sad, yet drink and let your hearts be glad. Drink and forever bless his name, from whom these streams of mercy came. Drink, for the fountain's open still. Drink, for he says, whoever will. May the Lord add his blessing. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon us each. Amen.